if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to this processor themed episode of BRB UK. Yes, that's right, it's episode 286. Next week we shall do episode 386, then 486, and then we'll be a Pentium 2.
That's not how numbers work, Dan.
Tim.
Yep.
Look, I know you only do numbers in novice mode, alright? Much like you do Ace Combat 7, alright?
Yes, I am a novice.
Yeah? So, that's
not
Tim.
Not only am I a novice at video games, but also at the video game journalisms.
Evidently. So anyway, that's Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Hello. And the other person there is Coleman. Hello, Coleman.
Hashtag fire Tim. Hi!
Hi! Hashtag he runs the damn company.
Well, we got to fire these damn game journalists that can't play games.
Have we got a board of directors?
Yes, it's me and you.
Is it? All right, well, we can get rid of Tim then. All right, all those in agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Am I getting voted out of my own damn companies?
Okay, have you not seen Iron Man? You're more like pewter chap.
Pewter
than
chap.
Iron Man.
But yeah, I was thinking, yeah, we got to fire Tim and get a proper gamer, games journalist that can play Ace Combat 7 properly. There seems to be a bunch of guys in the YouTube comments that are volunteering.
But my favourite one, and this one has got 56 up thumbs or whatever it is. If only it weren't on novice mode.
Yep.
Next one is from Upcycle Shoes. Even the hippies hate you. Easy mode flight control. Turn off video. Great, there's new gameplay, but the player playing it is some ass.
Yeah, no. It's like, okay.
And that's not in a fond way, Tim. It's not saying you're a hot piece of ass.
Yeah, that was like literally recording my first go on the game. But you know, hey, okay, judge me. That's fine. I'm a novice. Okay.
I just think it's awesome. I also think it's amazing that's our most viewed video by country mile.
Yeah, I think our most viewed before was like 5,000. Now we're
yeah,
on
this
the
is 23,000.
Yeah,
but mostly just people yelling at me, which you know.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that someone had to stop watching at 2:44. Congratulations for still going that far.
Yeah,
because whoever was playing couldn't fly in a straight line. It just amazes me is that it actually takes more effort to just be a dick than just press stop and move on.
If you'd like to judge Tim's bad Ace Combat 7 flying, then go over to www.youtube.com/BigRedBarrelTV and you too can enjoy Tim playing a game to apparently a subpar level.
I need to comment on it, don't I? I should really comment.
Didn't people comment a similar thing on you when it came to Onrush, though, and your driving skills?
One person.
Okay.
One person went, hey, this guy cannot land tricks. Why are you trying to do tricks when you can't land them? I was like, oh, this was footage I was going to use. I was trying to get crashes on purpose so I could use them for gifts and stuff. And then I forgot that was what I was using that footage for and then put it in the video. So clever me.
Yep.
But hey, if you want to see preview videos of Onrush and Ace Combat 7, then YouTube.
And we shall only let Uber Elite people play games in the organisation from now on.
That's
so
right.
So that means there's going to be how much video game coverage?
None.
That's right, none.
Just Dan with his Elite controller and his Xbox One X.
I don't have a
PS4 Pro.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only twat by that, right, Tim? what did you buy this week?
I did give up some money, but in exchange I got many of the things, but I exchanged quite a lot of things in the process.
That's not the answer to the question.
I know. Well, I did end up with getting myself a PS4 Pro,
right,
and a Switch this week as well, so I'm the proud owner of two new consoles.
Oh, play all of the things.
Yeah, and quite pleased with both of them so far.
Yeah, I'm jolly good. Well, so I'm the only Switch holdout at the moment.
Yep.
Yes.
Chaps, news, and we've got a crack-a-lack-a-lot, crack-a-lack-along.
Wow.
Crack-a-lackle.
Crack-a-lackles.
Crack-a-lackle-lackles.
That's what you used to treat wood.
Crack-a-lackles before I sit on my knackles.
Never sit on your knackles.
Never sit on your knackles. Robot Entertainment.
Entertainment for robots?
So you may know Robot Entertainment. They're the guys who did Orcs Must Die. Great game if you've not played it. Go give that one a try. They're working on a new project. They've had two teams on this project and they've decided to kind of incorporate the two into one. And in doing so, they've let some people go. 30 to be precise. Okay. Doesn't sound like a massive amount of layoffs, but it's not that big a studio. In fact, after layoffs, they have about 65 members of staff, according to their LinkedIn profile.
Well, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot, but
well,
if you're...
Well, it's a third of the members of staff. That's fairly big for sort of...
independent.
You know, independent these days.
Yeah, mid-tier.
Yeah.
Are we seriously playing game development studio top trumps here?
Yes.
Yeah, it's about mid-tier, of the old about mid-tier, mate.
I raise you Team 17.
Oh.
You can't beat Team 17 at the moment.
I raise you Phil Fish.
Oh, there you go.
Phil Fish. Isn't he a team of one?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a raise.
Oh, no. Didn't he have a studio and then he cut the game and...
He had a studio, had some kind of breakdown. It all went south, I think, is what happened.
I think he made a VR game, like a VR Tetris type game.
Don't start Tim on bloody VR.
Okay.
No, that... Well, the only game I know of that nature wasn't that, but anyway.
Sorry, yeah. Robot Entertainment.
Yeah. I hope you're all right, though, people that are staying and stuff. But hey.
Yeah, I'm talking people being dicks, though.
Yeah.
Right, I'm the first person to be okay with, if people being dicks to other people, getting a swift kick in the ass, having the ban hammer swung at them, telling them to off and go play elsewhere. I am fine with that.
You claim to be the first person, though. That's a bit of a stretch, possibly.
What? But
you said you were the first person.
I have a very low tolerance for people being dickheads, generally.
Okay.
Apart from those who were calling out on Ace Combat, of course, mate. That is
that's
perfectly acceptable.
Keep it to YouTube. It's basically a toxic waste dump.
Yeah, hang on. Were you more Ace Wombat than Ace Combat, do you think, Tim?
Ace is possibly a stretch of it as well. That's
base,
right.
Base Wombat.
Base Wombat.
Base Wombat.
Is
that's my new DJ name. MC McScrubble Dobble and Base Wombat.
Base Wombat.
And Tactical Wombat.
On the decks.
Yeah, so Microsoft, Xbox Live, that's got a bit of a connotation in the minds of many for, you know, some colourful language, some people getting heated in debates about which way a video game might have gone.
Call of Duty, thanks to Call of Duty and Halo back in the day on the 360 and the whole ease of use of TeamSpeak because they came with headsets and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It got itself an early reputation for being Xbox Live, you know, playing online. It's just a cesspool of children calling horrible things about your mum.
Yeah.
And racist language. But that's a reputation that stands to this day.
To be fair, it's not much better on other platforms either, but still.
Well, no, just generally put a mic in front of people and some degree of anonymity, and sadly, quite a lot of people just turn into absolute irredeemable dickheads, and that's always a problem.
I mean, they should play in expert mode, though, to be fair. Like, what's the point in playing if you can't play without novice controls?
If you can't play life in expert mode, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, to try and combat some of this, I mean, because Microsoft's slowly trying to roll itself out as a bit more of a services platform than it ever was, they've updated their terms of service that are hitting in May, so about a month out from now.
It's going to be May.
Yes. And it's going to be May for Xbox, Skype, and its other services, which is going to result in account suspension and bans for the use of offensive language, quote-unquote, and quote-unquote fraudulent activity. Now, so this sounds... Okay, fine. If you're a dick in public, that's fine. You are a dick. You deserve to be treated like a dick. Tough on dicks, tough on the causes of dicks, all right?
Also, before you get to your bit, Xbox did come out shortly after this whole thing kicked off and went, oh my God, if I swear at Cortana, then I'm going to get banned off Xbox Live, all that kind of stuff. And Microsoft basically came out and said, this has always been the case for our service. We're just changing the service agreement so it's more clear of the practices we're up to here.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely this sounds like something that they should have been covering already, but like
Tim, let me stop
bit,
you right
yeah.
there.
Welly,
fella my lad. So, there is one slightly worrying bit in his terms of services. So this, and it states, when investigating alleged violations of these terms, Microsoft reserves the right to review your content, and that is defined as anything you have stored in or around Microsoft's infrastructure, in order to resolve the issue. So let's say someone alleges that you were being an utter scroat bag, there was no obvious evidence to it, and they've reported this to Microsoft. It's at Microsoft's discretion if they want to start rifling through your stuff to see if there's any evidence to back those claims up.
Much like most online services do currently, like Google and Facebook.
Well, indeed, but you know, it just makes you, you know, have a little think. You know, stuff that you think is private might not be as private as you think in circumstances like this.
Well, it's one of those things, like a lot of privacy arguments I used to be a bit more prickly on until I came to the conclusion, well, I'm not planning on doing anything wrong, so any evidence they capture on me is probably going to back up what I'm saying, or capture someone else in the process of being a dick, so go ahead. Same with CCTV. Like, I don't plan on, like, committing any crimes, so film me all you want.
Well, living in London, you got to get used to being watched all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And in Slough, you get watched all the time, but it's just a creepy old called Barry who lives down the end of your road.
Damn it, Barry!
Barry!
But yeah, it's more and more online services going, the more that they're used to communicate with each other or record information or, you know, send information, then it's going to get used against you. It's going to get monitored. I mean, like, we get Amazon Echoes and we Google Homes. Have you read the terms and conditions on those things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing is, it's a bit of a departure from, you know, it used to be don't post anything on Facebook or Twitter that you wouldn't want printed on the front of a national newspaper was the rule of thumb I was always kind of given. It actually came up in kind of medical training as well, because if you self-identify as a medic and that kind of, you know, and that kind of stuff gets out there, it could be a bit of a nightmare for you. But, you know, I think the slight angle of the fact that they ultimately have access rights to anything you put on the service, given the right circumstances, it's just a little concerning.
Like you say, it's the investigation part, because then they're looking at your stuff without any accusation of guilt. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not planning on doing anything wrong on those services or in general, so take all the information you want in that regard. As long as you're not actively filming my home, which is something I would have a problem with,
because
it's an invasion of privacy, then collect the data from my gameplay, from the audio from my gameplay, if necessary, from anything else that you want. I'm fine with that, generally.
You remember when
I can understand why it might upset some people. I'm just saying it doesn't particularly upset me, having come round to the conclusion that...
It isn't just Xbox. It is your Outlook email account. It's the things you've written using any of the Office suite. It's anything you might have said on Skype. All of that stuff is fair game. Under, you know, depending how you read that clause, they could start having a look through your emails.
Okay, but what's the alternative? There's two alternatives. They don't ban people for this type of behaviour, or they ban less people in that sort of category sort of thing. Or the other alternative is that they ban people without evidence. I prefer this alternative.
I'm firmly in the belief we already live in a Big Brother society. I'm happy when people are open about it.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, Colin, I thought that was a lovely new pair of pants you were wearing today. Very nice. Dan.
Remember when the Kinect was recording us all?
Oh, mine still is.
Actually, Tim's is plugged in as well.
Yeah, it's recording you now, Coleman.
Yeah.
Excellent. As we are recording anyway, Tim, so that...
If you want to record my sad personal life, go ahead. There's nothing interesting. If you want to look in my Google Docs and read my Twilight fan fiction, go ahead. That's how 50 Shades of Grey became a thing.
It's the BRB Boom fanfic that worries me more, though, to be fair.
No, Blue Show, mate. It's classic.
Oh, nice. See what you did there. Very good.
If anyone investigated all of those things for me, they generally find out that I talk a lot about games, do a lot of thing about games without getting much money from games. But, you know, that might be suspicious, because only an idiot would do that, surely, rather than just play games.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Moving on.
Now, this the title of this next thing bothers me.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, it's not the EA bit, okay?
EA always bothers me.
Well, it probably should bother me more than it does.
Why are they putting loot boxes in now?
So what have you done, EA? They're hiring for an open-world Star Wars title. Now, surely, open-world does not imply a large amount of the Star Wars universe, because it's only one planet. That is my issue with it. Should be an open universe Star Wars title. Should be an open universe.
Open universe. Open galaxy. Yeah. Far, far away.
Right, but it that wouldn't describe the genre of game, though, would it?
Yeah, it would. It's in the universe you can do anything in. Anything. An open world is just one world that is open to you.
Right,
that's depressing.
But an open world doesn't have to be confined to one environment, does it? And then it doesn't matter where the environment
depends
are.
Depends how you define world. I like to define world as a geographical body that you exist on. Universe, however, is a much more inclusive term. So what's going on here exactly?
EA Vancouver, on their careers page, they have advertised for a lead online engineer who will lead a team to deliver online features to a Star Wars open world project.
What? An open what?
A Star Wars open world project.
No. Open what?
I'm reading a quotation.
I'm just correcting you. That's bad game journalism.
You're not correcting, you're uncorrecting.
All right, can we at least have a brackets sick in there?
Fine.
Good.
A Star Wars Open Galaxy project.
There we go.
There you go.
It's not factually correct.
Anyway, so as we remember, EA Vancouver, they were the guys that took over the project from the Amy Hennig-directed Star Wars project that was going to be created at Visceral Games after Visceral Games shut down. Still no idea if Amy Hennig's involved in this project. This looks very much like their idea of retooling that game into a games of service that was reported on at the time.
Tool.
Thank you, Dan.
My defending of the open world name of the genre does not mean that
really
I
don't care about it.
Want a game in that genre in the Star Wars universe. But I will reserve judgment until we know more details.
I think the problem is... things like open, if you want to call it open world, we'll call it open world. You know, I won't split hairs. I'm not an unreasonable man.
You will, and you did. You've just given
right,
up
fair
on
enough. That is an excellent point. Well,
you won't continue to split hairs, is what
but
you said.
The problem is that can they come up with enough varied, exciting content to make that open world feel full?
I think they can. Star Wars is a big, vast universe. If only they didn't get rid of all the extended stuff, they would have had something to pull from. But hey, that's splitting hairs. I am excited of the idea of having an open experience with Star Wars. And I love the idea of online connectivity. If only there was some kind of really good Star Wars MMO that already existed out there made by BioWare.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
Yeah. Anyway, that already exists. I'm assuming this is going to be a Destiny clone. This is going to be a... what's the one that BioWare's making?
Anthem.
This is going to be... And we mentioned this before when this was originally rumoured. I think you were the one who said about this, Dan. Doesn't spell good news for Anthem. Doesn't spell good news for BioWare when they're owned by the same company. And the company they're owned by is the one that has a habit of shutting studios down when they've outlived their purpose.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But at the same time, I would prefer the single-player experience, big story game. I would prefer the big set pieces. When I heard the rumors of this is going to be an Uncharted-style game headed by Amy Hennig in the Star Wars universe, I was very excited.
Yeah,
I'm still glad that's not going to be a thing.
Amazing-sounding formula.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Akbar.
Oh, nice.
100 Admiral Akbars, parachute onto a planet.
Right. I've got a question. Are there only giraffes?
No giraffes in space.
No giraffes in the Star Wars universe.
That's what George Lucas said.
In space, now I can hear you make whatever noise giraffes make.
There's no giraffes in space, I believe.
Wait, is that Kermit? Is that Kermit the Frog, or is that Donald Trump?
No giraffes policy in space. Yay!
God. Anyway, I mean, I think it could be a really cool thing. I just feel like a lot of these promises of open world experiences fall far short of what get promised.
Yes, but if any game could actually kind of deliver on that sort of promise, I think a Star Wars title.
Remind me how that MMO went.
Well, yeah, but...
Pretty well.
Right, just imagine like a kind of open world kind of like bounty hunter led maybe thing, or kind of you could be a bounty hunter.
Oh, no, don't say that. It reminds me of Star Wars Bounty Hunter.
But, I don't know. There's, yeah.
Imagine seeing, you're a nerf herder, right?
Yep.
You gotta hurt them nerfs. You gotta hurt the nerfs. They're the guns that fire foam bullets and stuff.
Yes.
Nerf herder.
Whilst moonlighting as a bikini wearing dancing temptress for a fat bloke. That's what I gotta do.
Okay, so we're still sad about the single player thing going and kind of optimistic about an open world game. I'd be more optimistic if it was a brand new game they were making open world and not just trying to rehash the old game and assets and stuff into this.
Yeah, so it's got a bit of that game, presumably a bit of Star Wars 1313 in it as well.
Yeah, it just pains me that the best sounding Star Wars projects are games that have been canned over the last few years.
Yeah.
But they're being grafted together into an unholy Franken Star Wars project.
We're never going to reach the lofty heights of Big Bomb Bad Racing anyway.
Mate, true words have never been spoken.
Yoda story.
Where's my Star Wars fighting game, eh?
That's Masters of...
Yes, Masters of
Terrakazi. Masters of Tikka Masala. Delicious.
Talking of delicious.
Points of interest.
Yes.
Delicious points of interest.
Delicious, tasty points of interest.
You know what? We did this section so we could get through news in like a quick way.
Yes.
Immediately, this is going to fall at the first hurdle. So PlayStation VR, Sony has announced that PlayStation VR, the bundle, will get a permanent price drop from to $259.99, which is available right now, and has dropped from $349.99. Nearly £100 off.
Yeah,
£90 off.
I think that's the bundle with the camera and a game, yep. Isn't it?
Camera, game, and move controllers.
So that's a really good deal.
So, basically. I mean, to be fair, that is everything you need to get going, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty... I mean, compared to what the equivalent product from Oculus or Vive looks like, that's actually a pretty compelling deal.
Yes. Yeah, the only
I
thing
have
I
to say.
The only thing I would advise that you might have to add to that as adding to the mix... is I was quite relieved to get a charging stand to keep the move controllers and the headset and controllers on, basically. Because, otherwise you've got a problem with charging ports and lots of cables. And also where the hell you put the headset when you're not plugging it in if you want to keep it out permanently.
On your head.
But generally, that's all you need to get going and gaming with, most of the best experiences. Obviously, you could add steering wheels and stuff onto that for the driving games and stuff. But yeah, and it's also a really good time to buy the headset at the moment as well. Moss is excellent, as I said recently. I've been talking about lots of other games, so I won't recap that. But just to add that the update for Wipeout VR came out this week as well, and that's fantastic. I won't get into too much, but it is sensational. It's all three games, all the content, everything is in VR. And it works fantastically. Loads of different comfort options. The older games look a bit ropier, possibly, but the latest one just looks absolutely
ropier.
Fantastic. Ropier.
Oh, ropier.
That's one of them swords, isn't it? The French ones.
A bit floppier than that, but yeah.
No, but generally, yeah, that game looks fantastic. You really have to try that, Dan. It's really good. But yeah, I won't dwell on that. I'll come back to that a bit more next week. But just generally... this year is going to be a really good year for the lineup from PlayStation VR. They're announcing, I think there's another 180 games and experiences, I think it was, that they said that are already kind of scheduled for this year. And yeah, we've already had a fantastic year of games, and there's already quite a bit to pick up anyway. So yeah, I really need to do an article on that at the moment, and I'm going to try and do one over the weekend. But it's a really good time to buy a headset, especially at that price.
Cool.
Excellent.
Let me tell you about my morning, Dan.
Every
now and then, I leave work. Mm-hmm. Tim goes to work. Sometimes our paths interchange.
Right.
So Tim's leaving for work.
Oh,
I'm going to work.
Is this a naked VR story?
No, this is really funny to me. I know that the two aren't linked, but it seemed really funny in my... So Tim's got this very wide-eyed look about him this morning, and he's tearing out of his eyes, and he just goes, Wipeout VR's really good. Got his image of him playing it all night until his eyes bleed.
Jesus.
Look at the colours. On a PS4 Pro. More pixels. Double the pixel count.
But in all seriousness, does moving to a PS4 Pro make a noticeable difference in the VR experience on PSVR?
I've had a little sort of comparison go just with some games that I'd played recently, and it was one of those things where probably does, but it's a little bit hard to tell. But I think some games will show that up more than others as well. And I think Wipeout was a good one to have upgraded for. So it's not one that I saw previously on the PS, the normal PS4. But yeah, it looks, as I said, it looks absolutely fantastic on the Pro, and it probably is kind of geared to take full advantage of that as well.
In advertised details, it's meant to have a higher frame rate and double the pixel count.
Yeah, basically. So that probably helps a lot. But yeah, it looks like stunning. It's, as I said, I think I said on Twitter this morning, it possibly a new benchmark in graphics for VR and for converting games into VR.
Oh, I bet you that angered Kev.
Why?
PC Master Race and all that.
But yeah, like truly, like, yeah, has to be played. If you are interested in VR, then it's obviously a great game to pick up. But if you're a Wipeout fan, it's the way you should have been playing the game all along, almost, kind of thing. It feels like such a natural fit for it.
Do you know what I want to see? I want to see Farming Simulator in VR, so then you can call it OOR VR!
I think that exists.
Does it? OOR VR?
Well, not OOR VR, but Farming Simulator VR patches.
Why have you called it OOR VR, mate?
On PC.
I'm still in the
camp of the PSVR is a good little bit of kit. It's the most user-friendly of the VR kits. That said, I do prefer playing on an Oculus. I do prefer playing on a Vive. I still think the Vive is the best out there.
Well, I think the Vive Pro will probably be even better than that if you
with the wireless
option.
You just need to have a spare room the size of Earl's Court to actually use the damn thing.
There are limitations to the systems, as I was saying last week. When you're playing the more active games, the wire really does become more of an issue. But if it's especially if it's a seated game, you're fine, and it's still a good fun experience. I'm happy to get on board at this stage. I'm not even contesting the fact that it will be better and more accessible further down the line. I just like being in at this stage, and it's a fun stage to be in. But hey, anyway, yeah, let's crack on. Otherwise, cool. I'll talk about VR all day. And
yeah, you will.
Like you do every day.
So next up is Rare and Sea of Thieves. And we talked a bit about Sea of Thieves last week. I continue to be whelmed by this game.
Not under, not over. Just
no, they did push a stability patch to it earlier this week, which apparently has sorted out the issues of inventory items going missing.
Apparently, that was
that wooden leg. Did that give you a bit?
No,
more...
that is an integral part of being a pirate.
Right. Okay.
There was apparently another issue where people that were getting the game pass, quite a high number of them, weren't able to access Sea of Thieves at all.
Oh, really?
Apparently, that's been sorted out as well with the first patch.
Just as their Game Pass free 14 days is coming to an end.
I'm sure they'd extend that. Surely, I reckon if you made a big enough stink with Xbox, you'd get that extended.
Yeah, if you haven't done already.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, they're kind of generally a bit up against it, Rare, though, aren't they?
They have been since they went to Xbox, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think the problem is Sea of Thieves is one of these things that's a wonderful idea, but just has frankly doesn't have enough game in it.
It's No Man's Sky syndrome.
Yeah.
It's been overhyped by the publisher for what it is.
And it may deliver eventually, but it might be a while.
It's also the highest selling, the quickest selling first party title in Xbox One history. So,
jolly good.
Jolly Roger good.
It's not the biggest benchmark, though, anyway. But anyway.
To be fair, that's a pretty pirate thing to do, isn't it? Lull you in with, it's going to be an amazing game, and then just steal all your money.
Yeah.
That's a pretty pirate
steal
thing
all
to
all
do.
Your doubloons.
Okay, so to the actual news point this week, they were trying to say, originally there was an idea that we're going to introduce a ferryman, so every time you died, you would be paying a cost to the ferryman to come back from the dead. This apparently wasn't communicated quite right, and sounded as horrible as I just made it sound. So Joe Neat from Rare, he went on Twitter to say, he's the producer of Sea of Thieves, he went on Twitter to say that we've heard the feedback, we didn't communicate it properly, but we're scrapping it. It's not happening now. So don't worry.
Good.
I mean, to Rare's credit, though, they are doing their best to try and get out in front of it and, you know, not shy away from the criticism. I mean, it looks like they're getting into the habit of like a weekly kind of video cast with the exec producer of the game and the head of Rare Studios. So, you know, I hope that continues, and I hope they're able and continue to be willing to kind of stare down the criticism and actually try and do something about it. So, you know, there is that to it. I think the game, was overhyped. Yeah, it probably needed even more time in the oven to actually put some game around all the cool tech. But, yeah, I kind of stand by my judgment on it that, you know, Game Pass it for the moment if you want to, but probably in about 6 months' time is going to be a pretty good game in there. But we're saying that about a worrying number of games at the moment, I seem to feel.
That's the environment we live in, with everything's got to be online, everything's got to be connected, everything's a game with service now. That's the future we can look forward to. Anyway.
Yeah, hey, it's a good job that Destiny 2's good already, right?
Yeah, that's great. So Limbo and Inside developer Playdead, they've possibly teased their next game. They've been out on Twitter and they've showed... Now, when you think Playdead, you think Limbo and Inside. What do you think their next game's going to look like?
It's going to involve unicorns and rainbows.
Close but no cigar. They've shown an image that shows off a bleak, muted image.
No!
Very silhouette-y type of thing.
What a departure from their usual style.
Yeah, so apparently they were talking about GDC. You should expect to see more of that game on PAX. The next PAX coming up.
Do you think someone just needs to go in this studio and go, guys...
Cheer the hell up!
No, don't. Just this setting here, that's called colour.
Ah! I think someone just needs to go in there and just like shovel fistfuls of Prozac into their mouth. Cheer the hell up, guys!
Jeez.
It's a smiley face world. No, Trump is in power. Oh, crap.
That is an excellent point.
Then BRB UK becomes very black and white and muted.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm just glad that I'm finally becoming a house owner, homeowner, just at the time where I can start digging my own nuclear shelter for the upcoming nuclear war. Timing's pretty good, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need ground for it.
Yeah.
Something else is pretty good, possibly, if you like this sort of thing. Warner Brothers Interactive and Disney have announced that Lego The Incredibles is an actual thing. It's, of course, being developed by TT Games, mm-hmm. Traveller's Tale Games.
Right, so it's going to be a reskin of just about every other Lego game, then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent.
I'm guessing this is going to be one of the movie games where they don't have the voice acting in it. It's going to be pulled directly from the first movie. That's what I reckon is going to happen.
Do you think it'll be... based on just the first movie or the first?
I reckon it'll be the first two. Well, the two movies.
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
The first two of
first
two.
This long line of Incredibles movies from Pixar.
I doubt I have very much from The Incredibles 3.
This will mark the third time that Samuel L. Jackson has been in a Lego game.
Really? Now that is some pub quiz knowledge there.
He's been in Lego Marvel Avengers and he's been in Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, he has.
Mace Windu and Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Now, Frozone?
Frozone, yeah.
Frozone, yeah. Where's my super suit? So in the US, the game's going to be physically and digitally launched.
I am the greatest good you're ever going to get.
And you will know my name. Oh no, we've pulled the wrong movie.
Oh, I really want to see a Lego Pulp Fiction now.
You know your super suit because it says Incredibles. You know my super suit because it says Bad Mother. Anyway, on the 15th of June in the US, it's coming out physically and digitally. That will be the same time as the launch of Incredibles 2 in theatres. However, in the UK, we also get it physically and digitally, but it's coming on the 13th of July.
Why is that, Coleman?
Don't know.
Oh. Isn't that... So the film's coming out so same time as the games, just we get the film and the game a month later.
Yeah. We get
Damn it.
It,
America. Damn it, America.
I mean, to be fair, we get all the Marvel movies first.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know how we swung that one, but well done.
Because most of them are made in the UK.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. That's probably not the reason.
No. Because we're awesome, Tim. That's why. Because we're awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Anyway.
I put it to Stan that it's because... So have you noticed that like lots of superheroes are British?
Yes.
So like Henry Cavill is Superman and the kid who plays Spider-Man is British and the previous Spider-Man kid,
Samuel
he was also
L. Jackson,
British,
well-known member of the House of Lords.
But we seem to see Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. We seem to a lot of American superheroes are cast as British people and we get the Marvel movies first. I put that solely because they cast Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes once.
Yes.
Revenge!
Revenge! We're still very sore about it. Anyway, also moving on, THQ Nordic. They've been making a lot of announcements lately. Last couple of weeks ago, I think they announced that they're bringing back the Nickelodeon THQ partnership is coming back. We're going to get old Nickelodeon and new Nickelodeon games coming back to THQ Nordic. That's going to be interesting. THQ Nordic has announced that they're releasing a remaster of Red Faction Guerrilla. That's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And it's called... It's called Remastered.
I don't get it.
Because it's set on Mars.
No, don't get it, mate.
Set on Mars. It will contain the original game and all its DLC. And if you have the original game on Steam, you will get the remastered edition for free.
Oh, that's,
well, that's quite cool. I have to say, that was a fun game. But a lot of the joy I extracted from it was impromptu, non-actual game mode multiplayer games where you had a big building. Two mates just blew
the crap out of it.
And exactly. And he did a time attack for who could demolish the building more quickly.
Yes, I remember that.
Good times.
But if you have Steam, then there's a good chance you already own Red Faction Guerrilla because it's been on so many. I've seen it advertised for £1.99. I've seen it in Humble Bundles and all sorts over the years.
I'm just because I don't think I do have a copy of it. I'm just going to check that. Live Steam library checking.
And while Dan checks his Steam library, we spoke about the System Shock remake that was getting delayed for quite some time. We found out how long that will be now. It's now been pushed back from, I can't remember. It was meant to be this year. It's moved back to Q1 2020.
And isn't that in the context of them actually massively reducing the scope of the remake as well?
Yeah, I believe so. But that was kickstarted in 2016, so...
Pretty quick by Kickstarter standards.
Yeah, I guess. but there you go. And also, lastly this week, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. That was a big release on the PS4 and PC. That is now coming to the Xbox One on the 11th of April.
Well, huzzah.
My birthday. Other thing I'll sneak in, I don't know if you heard, but No Man's Sky has been announced for Xbox One as well.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Ooh, that's actually a pretty big deal.
With a big update heading towards PS4 and PC, I believe.
The problem there is that will release at retail or close to retail price. And the big problem there is if you've got it on the PS4 already and had all these free updates, or you could go out to a CEX store and pick that up for like £5-10 on PS4 right now.
You'd probably get, I think you get the update for free, but they're calling it No Man's Sky Next, apparently.
Okay.
It's a thing.
NXT. Gonna have all the indie wrestlers that have signed
any,
to
well,
No Man's
no,
Sky.
They put an E in it,
God
too.
Sakes,
they know
man.
How to spell.
Have you? What's the update on your Steam library, Dan?
No, I don't have it, and it's going to cost me £15.
Ooh, hold tight, just hold tight.
I know. Well, I should be getting some more Humble Bundle games soon-ish, actually.
When's the next sale? They do a summer sale, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there you go. Just
there's always a sale. There's always a sale.
The sales never stop. Dan.
Yes?
We're going to talk about what we've done played, and I want to know about Far Cry 5, because you've been playing it on the PC, and I've got it on the PS4, but I've been stuck at work, so I've not been able to play it yet.
Mm-hmm. And I've had too many good games to play.
And also, have you been playing this in multiplayer?
I have been playing it multiplayer.
Good. Continue.
Okay. Now.
That doesn't spell good news.
We're going to settle in for a story time.
Now. It's another Far Cry game. Now, that is a statement of the bleedingly, blindingly obvious. I'll give you that. But if you're looking for innovation in how Far Cry has styled itself over the years, if you're looking for something new being brought to the Far Cry experience, you're not really going to get it. However, I do like the setting. I think it's very on point about where America is at the moment.
Yep.
In America.
And yeah. And,
unintentionally as well.
Yeah, and you know, a bit of me does smile slightly that it's been released just before Easter and it's about a bunch of religious zealots. I mean, that's pretty brave of you, well done. But I don't think, certainly as far as I've got at the moment, it doesn't, other than, hey, they're a bunch of crazy religious people. I'm not saying all religious people are crazy, it's just that they are a particularly crazy bunch of people who happen to be religious in this game.
It has tones of Westboro Baptist Church.
Yes. Absolutely.
Also, go watch the movie Red State if you want to reference that.
Yeah, and I kind of wish, from a story point of view, they did more with it. Actually kind of dig into the undertones of, you know, what kind of fundamentalism actually means and how that changes people's points of view and the ways in which people's sensibilities are kind of manipulated in order to make them think they're doing right and doing right in the name of God, whereas actually what they're doing is probably fairly amoral and safe and self-serving. They don't dig really much into that. It's just basically, hey, there's a bad man, shoot him in the face. And, you know, fair enough, it's an FPS game, and I'm probably expecting too much. But, yeah, I mean, the setting could be so so much more, and the narrative I kind of get the feeling they could tell a lot more with. But that being said, it's a phenomenal looking game. It looks utterly, utterly beautiful. It really, really, really does. And it's a technical, a real technical showpiece. I mean, unlike in previous Far Cry games where, like, if it's meant to be like a jungle or a wooded area, actually it's just about a couple, it's like five trees next to each other. In this, it genuinely feels like you're kind of wandering through the wilderness with kind of densely packed foliage, really kind of nice environmental effects. It's a very atmospheric game.
Any sign of the malaria system coming back?
The malaria system. Yeah. I'm really glad that isn't in it.
Beloved system within Far Cry.
Yep. Far Cry 3, wasn't it?
Two.
Two? Okay, yeah, it was two. Yeah, you're right.
Was it two?
Yeah.
That was, you're right.
Yeah.
That sucked ass.
The first was that the first Ubisoft one, or was the first Ubisoft one? Because the first one was Crytek.
Yeah, I think the third one was the first Ubisoft one, but I'm sure I will be corrected and be told that I'm playing life on novice mode at some point.
Actually,
I have a question, Dan.
Yes, Timothy.
Does it have an antagonist that gives long speeches?
Funny you should mention that. Not just one, not just two, not just three, but probably four antagonists who A whole family who love the monologue.
It's a
polyglot of monologues is what it is, Tim.
Also, Far Cry 2 was Ubisoft Montreal.
Oh, there we go. So we're wrong. On the spot fact check. I mean, it's still, if you like Far Cry, you're going to like this game. If you're not a big fan of Far Cry, it doesn't bring anything new to the table particularly. And the weapons feel quite similar to Far Cry 4, to be honest. But they have overhauled the perk system, so it's now much more you can pick and choose what perks you want to cash in rather than a whole bunch of prerequisites. There's still one or two where you need to have unlocked the previous step, but it's a lot more kind of an a la carte menu now. It's like, well, if you want to buy this if you've got enough points, and you don't have to invest points into things that you don't particularly want in order to get the skills you do. So that's quite a big change. And there is of course planes in it as well for the first time, and it is quite cool having kind of a kind of plane combat in the game. And it is very awesome if a plane's bearing down and you're just trying to shoot the crap out of you, and you manage to dome the pilot with a sniper rifle. That is pretty awesome until the plane then continues on its course and flattens you, which has happened to me.
Nice.
It does sound fun though.
Yeah, it is quite good.
Please tell me you got some capture of that.
I'm not sure I...
Oh, damn.
I will have a look. I will have a look, see if the pervasive world
so
of
now
NVIDIA...
novice mode again, eh?
...managed to nom it.
Now, this is the first Far Cry that I've got in and bought day one. And it's not... I've never been a Far Cry fan. Like, I've picked up 2, 3, and 4, but very late in the game. And actually, no, I've picked all of them up very late in the game. And... You know, I play them for a little bit and then I get quite bored and stop playing them. Mm. The reason I went for Far Cry 5 was after playing it at EGX last year. The story does interest me, but it's not my main selling factor. It was playing it, I went, oh, you can have some fun dicking around in this game. And you can play in four player co-op, I'm in. You know, that's exactly why I've gone for this game.
I mean, and to be fair though, it is a lot better about kind of surfacing cool activities to do outside of kind of the well-trodden path of the story. It is a lot better about doing that in the previous Far Cry games, which probably helps immerse yourself in the world and experience what the game has to offer.
And it's not set co-op stuff, is it? You can do the story.
Oh yeah, it's just a story. Okay, I mean, okay. Me and Kev...
Take notes, Monster Hunter.
Yes, me and Kev blasted through a couple of story missions. And it is exactly, you know, it's the same missions that you would get in single player, but just with two or three of you doing it. So it was, I mean, and that is good fun. But, I mean, the other thing it was trying to kind of bring to the table is this Far Cry arcade mode.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Which is basically a bunch of user-generated content a la Far Cry 2. Do you remember the map editor in that?
Yeah, we spoke about this before, because it's got assets not just from Far Cry, the whole Far Cry series, but also other Ubisoft properties, like Assassin's Creed and Rabbids and all those kind of things in there.
But your mileage may vary on the quality experience you may or may not have in Far Cry Arcade. I mean, the one thing I was expecting was a bunch of kind of like seeding content from Ubisoft, like kind of the studio created stuff just to show.
Here's how to do it. Much like Little Big Planet.
There isn't.
Oh. That's a pity.
It's every level that me and Kev played looked... I think the problem is as well, is that it kind of exposes the flaws in the engine as well, because right. not everyone bothers to do a lighting render pass on it, and it looks a bit 1990, a bit kind of like mid to late 2000s graphically, some of these levels, just because the person doing it doesn't know what to do, and that is a bit of a shame.
It's I think that's going to be something worth visiting down the line, where more and more people have become more adapted here. I assume there's a rating system to it as well, so things get upvoted and stuff.
Yes,
because you'd be mad not to add that feature in. So much like Little Big Planet when that first launched, like you come back to it in like 6 months' time, it's going to be very fun. You know, lots of cool stuff in there.
Yes, well, here's hoping.
Mm. Or just a bunch of 9/11 levels that get pulled. You know, that was also in Little Big Planet.
I'm not even going to get started on that, right? But just don't be dicks.
No.
Can we just have one day where you don't all be bloody dicks?
No, probably not. No.
I mean, if you were playing Far Cry 5 without the novice controls, then, you know, just saying. Until
yeah,
then,
there
you
are planes in it,
get.
Tim. There are planes in it.
Can you fly them in novice mode? That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
I also hear, like, this isn't really relevant to the overall experience of the game, but I hear when you get trucks, you can get, like, little bobblehead toys and stuff.
Yes, I've got Pagan Min one.
Yeah, I heard you can get, like, Pagan Min and Vars and Rabbids and Altair and all these other kind of Ubisoft things.
Sweet.
That's brilliant. I love that. It's completely taken it out of the truck simulator, Euro Truck Simulator, but that's really cool to stick in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think, is it worth full price at the moment? I don't know. I mean, I think it is a good game. I mean, it's a fun game, much like the other Far Cry games are. Is it doing anything other than just kind of iterating on the existing formula? No, it isn't.
Well, you just said a bit that it is iterating on, but maybe not to maximum effect, no? As in having the like level creator stuff and stuff, no?
That's... Well, no, that was in Far Cry 2, though, dude.
Well, let me set some parameters for you here, Dan.
Right. Is it? I love a parameter.
You love a parameter, you do.
I love it.
If you are big into Far Cry and you love the whole format of Far Cry and the controls and all the stuff in there, and don't particularly care if it's going to elevate on Far Cry 3 or 4, and is that going to be worth it? And then also at the same time, if you maybe have never played Far Cry and you're looking for something to play at the moment, don't really have anything, would this be a recommend for full price?
Probably. I mean, but those people probably already bought it, I would say.
Hello.
Hi. I mean, it is not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a bad game in any way, shape, or form. It's just not particularly innovative in what it's doing with the Far Cry property. Fine. I think that's all I can really say. I mean, it's got really mixed reviews actually elsewhere. I mean, I've been surprised at how middling some of the reviews have been.
Well, Nerdcube put it on his recommends, and I generally kind of agree with what he tends to say on stuff. Like, Just Cause 3 was horribly panned when that first came out. I think it was 3, wasn't it? 3 or 4.
Yes.
That was horribly panned when that first came out, and he put a video up showing him in a car inside a plane and then jumps out the plane and with the car and then onto a motorbike. So he just went, "This is the best game ever!" And I kind of agree with him on that. So
fair enough.
Go with what you know. I'm interested. I can't wait to play this. Actually, get some time to play this now. I finish work. So excited. Hey, Dan, has Destiny 2's new patch fixed the game?
Well, it's made it more like Destiny 1.
Cool.
That's so better, you move a bit quicker.
There's lacking in content until the third expansion pass comes out.
A little bit. We've still got the awkward second DLC to get through first.
Yeah, when's the second DLC coming? Because it felt like the first two DLCs with Destiny 1 came out like the month after each other.
No. Expansion 2 for Destiny 1 came out in May as well, and Expansion 2 is coming out in May 2. I think May 2, the return. Yes, May 2, Son of May.
Brexit harder.
That's called UKIP, the popular sequel to the Conservative Party.
But the second DLC is probably going to pull me back into Destiny right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because there's such apathy about the game at the moment. I, you know, mo- I mean, I understand it, and I think it's all completely fair criticism, but Bungie just aren't doing themselves any favours. And this step, yeah, this patch, yeah, is a step in the right direction, but they need to be a bit more honest with their player base. I think they need to acknowledge the problems that there are with the game if they want it to continue to succeed, or if they want it to be a truly kind of like game as a service thing, which is what they were very much going for.
Yeah.
I mean, or are they going to be okay with being, this is a multiplayer game that you play for a couple of months around launch and put it down until the next one comes out?
The Destiny 2, the state of Destiny 2 as it is, it's where Destiny 1 was for me at this time when Destiny 1 came out. I played a bit. I liked it. Well, actually, I played more Destiny 2 than I did with Destiny 1. I played enough. I liked it. Now I'm waiting for new content. You can't just bring out weekly exotics and that's going to keep drawing me into the game, because there's not enough for me to do. And I haven't finished all the content that's available. I'm done. I need some new story. That's what I need.
It sounds like, though, Dan, it sounds like you're struggling to either love it or hate it.
He's still doing his regular plays.
I'm not as regular as they were, to be honest with you.
Okay. It's good you're playing other games, because it got very boring when Destiny 1 came out.
Yeah, I was like, I'll play Destiny 1. No, it has been quite nice to play other games, I must admit. I think the thing is that it could just, it's a bit like, it's, and I've said this before about Destiny and I'll say it again, I've just got that real kind of disappointed parent feel about it. You know? It's like, if you just tried, took your head out your own ass, you could just be so much better.
I tell you what might make you a prouder parent, Dan.
What?
Owning a Switch.
Yes, but for that I need money. And I don't have the monies at the moment. Okay. So.
Well, yeah, as I alluded to earlier, I did pick one up. And yeah, I have to say...
What games did you get with it, Tim?
Well, I got Mario Kart with it. Basically, I ended up getting... because I was trading in as well, I got a second-hand one. Because I didn't really see the point in not doing so, possibly. And so that kind of helped with the price. But also, kind of my thinking behind that is, I'm thinking of probably trading this one in for the new model when that inevitably comes out. Maybe Christmas, maybe sometime next year. I'm really pleased with it. It's a really nice bit of kit, as Coleman has alluded to before, so I won't go into full details because it's not exactly news, but just saying I'm really pleased with my kind of personal purchase. I got Mario Kart with it, as I said, but then I've also picked up Golf Story, which I kind of mentioned before in the past, I heard about, and is definitely my type of game. It's a...
Is it a hard-hitting expose about the secretly debauched lifestyle of Tiger Woods?
No, it is a fundamentally a kind of just an 8-bit golf game, but just a really solid, like, mechanically golf game at the basis. But it's also got like a whole RPG mechanic around it. For instance, I got a new pitching wedge that allowed me to dig up treasure and then go hunting for treasure in a kind of...
Not
yeah,
sure that's RPG. How golf works.
Clubhouse sandwich.
It's weird, but kind of wonderful. It's a mix of like two things that I really like blended together and really suitable for the kind of handheld environment. The other thing I picked up is, I'm not sure if it's something you've recommended before, Dan, or whether it was the other games related to it you've recommended before, but I picked up SteamWorld Heist.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Steam... Brilliant game.
Yeah, you've got... I wasn't sure if you recommended just SteamWorld Dig or was it Heist as well?
I've got all of them. SteamWorld Dig, Dig 2 and Heist. They're all great games.
Yeah, well, see, I could appreciate that SteamWorld Dig and Dig 2 were well lauded. They just didn't look like my type of game, whereas SteamWorld Heist is very much in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, you'd love it because you love that kind of turn-based strategy stuff.
Exactly, yeah. So that's definitely...
Strategy.
It's really interesting. It's a nice different take on the genre as well, because you've got like that real-time shooting mechanic and stuff. But yeah, that just, again, really well suited for the thing. The only reason why I'm particularly mentioning them as well is it feels weird to me that I'm justifying the purchase of a Nintendo console based on indie games. Like, so far. Like, nothing against Mario Kart. It's just, I'm pleased I got that with the console, but I'd already played that and most of the content on the Wii U, which I did trade in for this. But
play Zelda.
Yeah, well,
I don't care what you say, play Zelda.
I've already,
play Zelda, Tim.
I probably will play it at some point. I've already picked up a cheap copy of L.A. Noire that I haven't received
that's
yet.
Not that's not Zelda. You should play Zelda.
But then I'm currently renting the Street Fighter game. I can't remember what it is. Super Street Fighter 2 the Final Challenges, I think it is.
Street Fighter 2 Switch Edition.
Anyway, it's the Switch one. But and then... I've also... what was the other one I rented? Oh, yeah. Mario Rabbids, which is, again... my type of game, hopefully. So I'm going to see what they're like, possibly pick
up. Also not Zelda.
But I think my main next purchase is probably going to be Bayonetta 2.
Not Zelda.
Bayonetta 1 and 2 are very badly priced.
They're weirdly priced, though. I was trying to work out exactly how much it's going to cost. But if you buy Bayonetta 2, you get Bayonetta 1 for free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy Bayonetta 1, get Bayonetta 2 for £15. Either way, it costs £40 for both of them, basically.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, but it took me a while to work that out. But yeah, you've been playing Skyrim on Switch as well.
I've got Skyrim on the Switch. There's no changes to it other than to Xbox 360 and PS3 Skyrims. There is Amiibo support now. I don't know how it works. I've been trying, can't get it to bloody work.
Oh.
And yeah, I paid way too much for it. It was on discount, but it was on discount for £30, and that is £25 more than I'd like to pay for Skyrim. And
I mean, bearing in mind you can get it on everything these days.
Yes, but I really like the idea of playing it portable, and I don't have the money for an Nvidia Shield that doesn't actually exist anymore because they don't make those handheld versions that catch fire anymore. And I don't have the power for a cool gaming laptop. But yeah, I've got it on the Switch. I could play Skyrim on the tube. I'm happy with that. I can't recommend it if you've already played Skyrim. I can't recommend it unless you really want to play it on the move, and £30 is too much for Skyrim.
Yeah, see, I'm not buying it because I paid, £35 or whatever for it on VR. Otherwise, I might.
But, cool. That's everything.
Yeah. All good.
That's everything. Tim? Tabletop Tuesday. Tuesday is Tuesday, Tim.
Right, cool. Tabletop Tuesday is this Tuesday. Each and every Tuesday, we have an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. Come along and join us, and you can win a copy of the feature game just by playing it on the evening. This week's feature game is a little game called 221 Baker Street. It's kind of a
sounds like Sherlock Holmes
type of game. Obviously, Sherlock Holmes related.
Sherlock, is it Benedict Cumberbatch in a tutu?
No, but if you come along on the evening, playing the game on the evening, you can possibly win a copy at the end of the night. There are more details on bigbedbarrel.com. Big bed barrel? Bigbedbarrel.com on the top left-hand corner, or you can join our meetup group on meetup.com/tabletoptuesdays.
Splendid.
meetupgroup.com/tabletoptuesdays. But yeah, anyway.
Shoutouts.
Yeah, we've got to do the shoutouts. So before we go, just like to say thank you to nobody from iTunes because no one's left us a review.
Boom. Leave us iTunes reviews, please. And also tell your friends about this podcast. Get them to listen. Force them to listen to an episode. Yeah, watch them download it.
Put it in
novice mode.
Yeah.
It's podcasting this novice mode.
This podcast is
it.
Permanently in novice also, mode. Warn them of that first.
I meant to say please and not just demand people to.
But from the forums, though, I would like to say thank you to Richard Kirk and Stingo.
Also, Stingo said that he didn't realise that anyone was reading the forums, let alone the post that he put in about the guy singing sea shanties. Stingo, we read everything.
We read everything.
On Twitter, Tim.
I will mention, but I can't remember, and I don't have time to look it up, but there was someone that asked me for a shout-out like a minute after we recorded last week, and I've forgotten. I'll put them in for next week. But the meantime, Mark Fraser, Rob Evans, and Will Driver, thank you very much.
And Ian and Nelly. No one on Facebook, no one on YouTube.
No one's on Facebook anymore because they've all deleted their accounts.
They're all bloody quitting Facebook. It's weird.
Yeah, no, I was right all along. Tim was hashtag Tim was right. Never Facebooked. Apart from the time I had a fake account called Fakey McFakerson.
If you're looking to start your own social media platform and you put in private messaging, don't stick adverts in private messaging.
No.
Real dick move.
Yep, dick move. Okay. Anyway, we have got to go because I need to go and do more work, which is always fun. So, so I'm going to disappear, as is everybody else. I suppose I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Unfortunately, I've been Coleman.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Did you just laugh at him for being Coleman?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Jolly good. Anyway, that's your lot, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for downloading us and putting us in your ear canals once again. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
ears are quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.